Welcome back to our study of Genesis. Before we start with chapter 31, I want to just give you a reminder about what we read in chapter 30. And this is an important reminder because you're going to see it on your test. And so the question that you're going to have on your test is, what you set before your eyes affects the outcome of your conception. And this is a principle taught through Jacob's actions with Laban's flocks. So you're going to want to remember that it was Laban's flocks that Jacob was dealing with. And that is a really important principle. I know we said we were getting ready to start with chapter 31, but we've just entered into a new year, haven't we? And I want y'all to remember this principle about our vision affects our fruit. And so today and every day of this new year, be mindful of what you're putting before you. You know, I think back to Abraham and what the Lord told Abraham. Abraham had to choose to believe that word and keep that word before him. And he did that in a unique way, didn't he? Changed his name. The Lord said, your name is Abraham, father of many nations, long before he ever had a child. That's keeping that word before him. And these, we have blessings that the Lord has given us, don't we? And so we have to choose to keep that before us. So I want you to just to remember that. What you put before you, it'll affect what you produce. Because what you put in, is it's going to come out. Out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth's going to speak. We were just talking about that this morning. And so let's just, may we keep putting in the Word of God. May we keep His vision before our eyes. And so that's what we're producing, not our own thing.
You know, also Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is telling the nation of Israel how important what they're to do with the Word of God, which would have been the law of Moses in that particular time. That when you get up in the morning, you talk about it, you walk along the way, you talk about it, you go to bed at night, you talk about it, you put that Word on your doorpost. In other words, what he's saying is keep the Word before you all the time. If you keep the Word before you, just like God told Joshua, you make your way prosperous, you have good success. Well, the downfall of the nation of Israel is they would not keep the Word of God before them. They'd turn away from the law. They were more intrigued with what was going on around them, just like people today. People don't want to read the Bible and study the Bible for themselves. They want somebody else to do things for them. And you tell me what I should believe. You tell me how I should live. And then what you have, ultimately, is the world telling the Christians what they're to do. And we're not keeping the Word before our eyes. I was talking with someone yesterday and encouraging them to get in and study. And they were agreeable to that, but they said, this is hard work. And I said, that's why people don't do it. They don't want to put forth the effort. They don't want to be diligent to search the Scriptures to see if what people are saying is what God says. And see if the things that are going on around you, people are trying to get you to participate in or lead you in a certain direction. Is that agreeable with God? You won't know that if you do not know the Word of God for yourself. You'll never know the Word of God by reading other people's books. You will know what other people think. Focus on the book. The Bible. Learn the principles. The Old Testament saturated with principles. Just like this one. What you're keeping before your eyes is determining what you're going to produce in your life. Your success and your failure is in your hands. You can blame it on God. You can blame it on people. You can blame it on anything you want to. But if you'll look in the mirror, you'll find out where the real source of the problem is. It's because we're not doing what God has told us to do. We're not keeping that word before us. And so we're producing something other than the desires of God. We've got to get submitted to the kingdom of God.
We were talking today, and I asked Pete a question about something, and I said, do you ever allow yourself just to think about, you know, whatever? And he reminded me of the importance of our thoughts and how important it is for us to keep our thoughts on the Word of God and on the Lord. Because when we don't do that, we close ourselves off to hearing from Him and to getting the direction that we need. And so there's so much to this. We can do such damage to ourselves with wrong thinking, with wrong vision. And so, new year, 2024, and aren't we, it's exciting. New beginnings, fresh starts. So may we keep the word before us this year.
Talking the problem and not the solution.
Oh boy, that's a big one. Let's talk the solution.
I heard that.
And this is the solution.
Yeah.
To every single need, to every problem, there's nothing that's too big for Jesus. You know, if our God can be so detailed, Romaine and I have been looking in the book of Leviticus about every single detail for a burnt offering, a grain offering, you know, Thanksgiving offering, whatever the case may be. He's got all that. He had all that laid out and all that pointed to Jesus. You know He's got you. You know He's got me. The one that knows the number of hairs on your head. There's nothing that's too big for Him. Nothing. So, aren't you glad that you know Jesus Christ? I am so grateful for who He is and the blessings He's given us. Don't you sense His presence this evening? You walk in this place and you're surrounded by like hearts, people that have a desire to learn about the Word of God. What a blessing that is that He's given us a place to come together and learn together. So we're going to learn about what happened with Jacob and Laban and his sons and how Jacob ended up being blessed. And we know Laban was blessed because of Jacob. Chapter 31 tells us about the complaint of Laban's sons. The Lord's instructions to Jacob, Jacob leaving for his home country, Laban's pursuit, Laban's warning, his accusation, Jacob's anger, and the covenant between Jacob and Laban. Let's look at chapter 31 together at this first verse. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory.
So Jacob's hearing Laban's sons complaining and accusing Jacob of taking away their father's wealth, and so they're not real happy with Jacob. Now, what they're saying is, we have changed our mind about our father's agreement. when Laban asked Jacob what wages he wanted to stay with him and maintain his flock for him and all, Jacob said, I don't want anything but this. Let's separate the spotted, the ring-striped, the brown. Let's get these out of the flock. And you take them away from the flock. And then in the future, any ring-striped, brown, spotted, that's produced out of what I'm keeping will be mine. Well, God gave him that plan, how he peeled the sticks. As we were talking earlier, what he set before their eyes when they conceived, that's what they produced. What they were seeing is what they were producing. And so Laban agreed to that. They thought this was a good deal because they thought Jacob was out of his mind. And now they've turned and thought, now he's stealing from us. And so they're upset. So Jacob, you know, is picking up on this, and those things aren't good. But he does not make his decision based on the circumstances, and we're going to see this. He makes his decision based on God speaking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn that principle. You make the decisions not because of circumstances, but what does God say? Sometimes the circumstances may be good, and God have you to leave the circumstances. Like Philip's having this great meeting in Samaria, and God tells him to leave to go to minister to one man in a deserted place. That's the will of God. Then that's the most successful you'll be for God, is by obeying God. At other times, you may be in difficult circumstances you want to run from, but the Lord's telling you to stay. Now, I have been in that situation. And I mean, I was thinking everything I could think about how to get out of Dodge City, to get away from all this stuff that's going on. And the Lord spoke to me through somebody else's mouth. They did not have a clue. They don't even know that they were talking to me. They just made a statement in general, and I heard God talking to me. The statement was this: staying is harder than leaving. And those who leave will usually leave again. That could have had my name on it, because I knew God had read my mail. And so I chose to stay. And in the end, although it was a difficult time, in the end it worked out beautifully. You understand? You don't run from problems. You face problems. You don't react to problems. You get a plan of action. You get the mind of God, and then you deal with certain situations and circumstances, and you'll be amazed at the wisdom that God will give you, because you know you're not that smart. And it works. Okay?
Amen.
Did we get that verse covered?
Yes, sir. In verse 2, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before.
Now here again, this is just observation. Sons are talking. Sons are probably talking to daddy too, you know. And now Jacob sees that his father-in-law is not as friendly toward him as he once was, even though he had made the agreement. And so Jacob's seeing the handwriting on the wall, as we say. Things are not good here. I don't know what's going to happen after this. But he doesn't jump ship. God speaks to him.
And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you.
So he does not leave until God says, all right, return to your homeland. You've been here long enough. You understand, all these years he's been hiding from his brother who has said he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, now go back home. Go back home. Okay? So he's going out of a bad circumstance to what looks like it could potentially be even a worse circumstance. You ever heard between a rock and a hard spot?
Mm-hmm.
But what's he doing? He's obeying God. And this is what we have to learn to do, is follow the Spirit of God. That's why we put so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, how are you going to be led by the Spirit? And the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. He will give you promptings. He'll tell you when to leave. He'll tell you where to go. If you'll listen to him. That's how this church came into existence. That's how this college came into existence. God spoke it. It wasn't man coming up with this thought and this desire. It was the Word of God. And because God's Word was spoken, it put desire in. You understand? The Word came before the desire.
Mm-hmm.
You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
We have to wait and get the Word of God. And when God says go, go. When God says stay, stay. You with me? Okay.
In verse 4. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, and God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring strike shall be your hire, then bear all the cattle ring strike. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me.
Now, Jacob is using wisdom here. He's getting ready to do something that's going to affect his family. And so the thing to do would be to sit down and talk to the family. So he calls his wives and he tells them what's going on. You know, you know how all this panned out. You know the years that I've served your father. 7 for you, Rachel, and I got Leah. Then I served another 7 for Leah, for Rachel again. Okay? Then I've served this all these years for your father, secures keeping your father's life, and he changed my wages 10 times. He's messing with me. And so he's telling them what his game plan is, that the Lord has spoken to him, he's leaving. But it's very important to get them in agreement with you. You understand? Or family contention can keep you from fulfilling the will and purpose of God for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is a tremendous thing when it occurs. Talking is not communication. Communication is when the person you're talking to understands what you say. Then you've communicated. And so he tells them, and then he gets a response from them that assures that They're in agreement with them. I've communicated. I'm not just taking them away from their family. You see where I'm coming from? They are leaving with him willingly. Okay? It's real important.
And in verse 10, "And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstrake, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift up now your eyes and see. All the rams which leapt upon the cattle are ringstrake, speckled, and gristled, for I have seen all that Laban does to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you vowed a vow to me. Now arise, get you out from this land, and return to the land of your kindred."
So Jacob goes into detail, telling his wives about the dream that he had seen and how he had seen these animals, their conception, that they were producing the ring straight. But why is that important? Here's what he's saying. This was not some devious scheme of mine. This was orchestrated by God. I have not stolen anything from your daddy by deception. I have done what I know to do, and I'm just cooperating with the Lord is the essence of it. And it's the Lord who has, if you want to put it this way, taken these animals from your dad to mine. From his herd's been producing to give me a herd. The Lord did it. You understand? Now, in that, you can see the blessing of Abraham mm-hmm. passed on. Abraham, mm-hmm. Isaac, and then Jacob mm-hmm. has received this blessing. Remember, Isaac blessed him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is blessed. So this is a God thing, not a devious scheme. And he makes sure that Rachel and Leah know this. And so he tells them the detail of the dream. Okay?
In verse 14, "And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto you, do."
Now, they are in agreement that God is the one who's transferred the riches to their family. You follow me? Now, it's so easy to overlook the fact that Laban didn't have that abundance before Jacob came anyway. And when Jacob started working for him and keeping his flock and all this, even the times that he's working for the wives, what's happening? Laban is prospering like he's never prospered before. And Laban recognizes that God's blessing is upon Jacob. But how easily we forget. You understand? He's accumulated a lot of wealth because of Jacob's labor, Jacob's blessing, and Jacob keeping this flock. But we can forget things. Now it's time to make a change, because God said it was time. So now they're moving in the time. So Rachel and Leah's response is, my paraphrase, we have no ties here. What's here for us? God has given these things to us, to our family, so we're in agreement with you. That's the essence. Okay?
Verse 17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan.
Now here's another thing that can be misconstrued by not understanding. Jacob acted wisely in that he left without telling Laban he was leaving, because Jacob knew that there would be a confrontation, that Laban was not just going to say, all right, you can go. And so Jacob is acting wisely by getting a head start on Laban, okay? And so he doesn't tell anybody anything. Now, there's a principle in this. When you get a direction from God, don't tell everybody what God's told you. Do it. Because you can get opposition if you start telling other people. People will tell you why you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I've had a lot of experience at opposition. And if I had listened to people, I would have missed God completely. This Bible college wouldn't be here if I'd listened to people. You understand? No, you listen to God, and you do what God tells you to do, and then you let the chips fall where they may. If people don't like you, then they don't like you. That's their problem. It's not my problem. They have a problem with God. If we do what God tells us to do and somebody doesn't like it, their problem is with God. And so I'm not going to take it personally. I had a lady to tell me, I hate you. I said, you don't hate me. You hate the Word of God. Because I just told her what the Word of God said. You can't take things personally, okay? Let it be like water off of a duck back. Let it run off of you. Don't take it into you. That'll get resentment and bitterness and all these things in you. Just obey God. Do what God says, and you can't go wrong doing right.
Okay. Verse 19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unaware to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead.
Now Rachel does something that is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, she steals. And number two of all things, it's an idol.
Yeah.
It seems to be following Jacob's God, Abraham's God, Isaac's God. Not some idol, okay? But nevertheless, she steals this idol, unbeknowing to Jacob. He knows nothing about this, okay? He's just gathering up the family. They leave, all his flocks, and it says across the river, I've looked at this and looked at it, and I believe from what I've researched that it's referring to the Euphrates River coming out of Haran. There's other people say different things, but we'll see later on that what they're saying I don't think will hold water, pardon the pun, okay? Because it took 7 days to get to that place, okay? Or over 7 days.
And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, take heed that you speak not to Jacob, either good or bad.
So Jacob gets a 3-day head start on his father-in-law. And his father-in-law is pursuing him. And he does not have good intent. That's why when he sets up camp and God appears to him in the night, and God speaks to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream. And in this dream, he said, pay attention. My paraphrase. You pay attention. Do not say anything good or bad to Jacob. You better not mess with him. You understand? God is showing up as the God to Jacob, the protector, the provider. You with me? So he's protecting Jacob by dealing with Laban. Don't you say anything bad to him or even good.
You know, I thought about that. Why good? Why did he have to identify, don't say anything good? Because maybe that could have changed his course. God told him, go back home. But, you know, when we hear things that tickle our ears, something we want to hear, it can get us off course what we're supposed to be doing.
I could say it this way. Laban, what Jacob's doing is none of your business. So keep your mouth shut. You can understand that terminology, can't you? Okay.
Loud and clear. Got it. And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead.
So Laban ultimately overtakes Jacob. You know, he comes up on his camp, and there is somewhat of a confrontation anyway.
Okay. Verse 26. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unaware to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me that I might have sent you away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp and have not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? You have done foolishly in so doing.
You know, talk's cheap. Mm-hmm. Laban's saying what could have happened, but would it have happened?
Mm-hmm.
No, his countenance has already changed toward Jacob. He is not happy with Jacob. His sons are not happy with Jacob. So you think they're going to have a big party and send them all away joyfully? And then he's saying, you deceived me. Well, if Laban had been really in tune with God, then he would have known it was time for Jacob to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have is one is a heathen and one is one blessed by God. And so what's he doing? He's rebuking Jacob. And God said, don't speak good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he's rebuking and then he's telling Jacob, you made a foolish decision. I'm telling you, when you do what God tells you to do, people think you make foolish decisions. Mm. Don't pay attention to people. Put your attention on the Lord.
It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke to me yesternight, saying, take you heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad.
Now, see, now you're hearing the heart of Laban. Don't you know I could do you harm?
Mm-hmm.
And probably would have, had God not intervened. He said, but God. God appeared to me and told me not to speak good or bad against you. Okay? And so he did have enough fear of God, probably because he didn't want to face the consequence of disobeying God, because God would have divinely intervened. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't mess with him.
Very good. Verse 30, and now, though you would need be gone because you sore longest after your father's house, Yet wherefore have you stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure you would take by force your daughters from me. With whomsoever you find your gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern what is yours with me and take it to you. For Laban knew not that Rachel had stolen them.
So Jacob straight up with him. The reason I left the way I left, because I was afraid that if I told you, then you would take away what you've already given me, is the essence of it. You take away my wives from me. I came empty and I'd have to leave empty. And so I didn't tell you that. And then as far as your God goes, kill the person that's got your God. I didn't steal it. Now that's a statement. Because he loved Rachel. He had no idea that she had taken that God. Okay? Now, he allows Laban to search all his possessions. Pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Our time's up here, so we'll have to pick back up on this after you take your break, okay?